After the holidays, there's so much to clean up and get ready for the coming year. This leaves me exhausted and a lot of things falling off my to-do list. It's time to lock in, and Omaha Steaks delivers everything you crave to reset after the holidays. An order from them means having high-quality Omaha Steaks on hand at all times. I'm a big meat lover myself, and I always go with medium rare, but there's also plenty of poultry and other options available. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of expertise in the meat industry. Let Omaha Steaks deliver high-quality proteins right to your door. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their end-of-season sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to www.omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide during their end-of-season sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. Thanks to Omaha Steaks for sponsoring us.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
This week on Bucko Banner, we talk updates from spring training, game recaps, and this week's spring breakout game. Cue the music. Rockin' 101, she compliment my taste. Whiskey in my lemonade, cause I like the way it tastes. Best seats at the Pirates game, they let me run the base. Yeah, my time is like my money, cause I can't afford to waste. Wifey is a lawyer, take my date to my dates. Order steak by the plates, and then case after case. Run my race at my pace, clear the grass of the snakes.
Episode 5, Shore. We're here, we made it, and we're very close to going down to Florida.
I am so excited.
I'm itching. I can't
wait. It was snowing so much yesterday. Insane. I was wearing shorts like 2 days ago, 70 degrees.
Yeah, it's a good time to go, if any time. I didn't leave my apartment yesterday. It was just like snowing all day, and I was just thinking about being in Florida watching spring training baseball, to be honest with you. So
it was like pellets.
Yeah, that's
it wasn't even it wasn't even sticking to the ground. It was just smacking you in the face. It was awful. Every step I took, I was like, Florida's in a couple of days.
That's what I heard. And I looked out the window. I was like, nah, that's not for me, dog. And I stayed inside. Yeah, so. No.
Just absolutely brutal. But yeah, every day is getting closer to being Bradenton. And I cannot be more excited. A lot of stuff to talk about, though.
Lots of stuff. We got some games to recap this week. We've got some news to cover. There's been a lot happening. A
lot of prospect talk, mainly because the spring breakout game was released. We have the roster. The Pirates released their top 30 prospects. A lot of guys that we're going to see in the game are on that list, a couple that aren't. And we'll definitely get into that. Couple other things. We found out Skeens will not start in the show. He will start in the minor leagues. For a quote, he has a couple more boxes to tick before he gets there. Nothing surprising there, right?
No. I mean, people that are acting surprised by that, it's like,
I'm outraged.
Yeah, I didn't expect him to make the opening day roster. They're obviously like taking his they're monitoring his work management very closely due to how many innings he threw at LSU last year. So I'm okay with that. I just want to see him throw some big league innings in spring training, and he'll be up this year. Yeah, I mean, inevitable.
Sure. I think it's throwing more than one inning at a time, honestly. Yeah. That's really the only box that hasn't been ticked, is going, what, 3-4 innings at least?
Yeah.
Which he's not going to have an issue with, but it, you know, when you're at this level, they want to make sure that you're absolutely ready, and they're not just going to throw him in there, but generational talent. So I guess don't rush it, but
I think he was supposed to throw this weekend in Lakeland, and he came down with an illness that seems to be going through the clubhouse. I know Palacios was sick. So I think the next time he's throwing is going to be Thursday when we're there. So that'll be fun to see. Oh, my God.
Yes. Let's go. So excited. It's a lot of pitchers on the roster.
Lots of pitchers.
It'll be interesting to see how they divvy up that action. There is multiple games for the prospect, right?
Yeah, there are. So it's fielded like a major league roster. I think there's like 26 guys on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously I had like 12 pitchers, maybe. I didn't really count, but 10 to 12. And they're not obviously not going to all throw on Tuesday or Thursday. But I think there's one more game, maybe two or three total for each team.
Right.
So if you didn't throw the first game, you're definitely throwing the next one.
Put Skeens in a bubble. Don't let him touch anything. Don't let anyone cough on him. We're coming to Florida. I got to see him throw.
I'll be his bodyguard. I don't care.
Yeah, I'm not waiting until June. In other news, there is more than just prospects. Eric Lauer, former Brewer, signed a one-year minor league deal with the club. Lefty arm to add to the system. Can't have enough of them. Struggled a little bit last year. Didn't have great stuff, but says that he's feeling the best he ever has. Maybe he gets an opportunity in the bullpen this year. What do you think?
I think he'll get some spot starts. I don't think not just bullpen. He's not a guy. The Pirates love their lefties, and we've talked about how they love their soft tossing lefties. He's not really a soft tossing lefty. He can be up there in the 95 area. And he had a good season with Milwaukee the year before last. From what I was hearing on a podcast recently, he dealt with a lot of injuries last year, was never fully healthy, and didn't even play well in AAA when he was in AAA. So, you know, him saying that he's feeling healthy now, I think that's a good sign. And I think you can never have enough arms. I'm all for the signing. It's no risk.
Yeah, good. I mean, obviously it was the one we were all looking forward to.
Yeah, exactly. It's a bombshell. But we also had some minor league news, right? We have, to be expected, guys being optioned to the minor league camp. That usually some of these prospects will stay up for a week or two. And then you get optioned to minor league camp. We have Braxton Ashcraft was announced today.
Great spring. Good.
Yeah, he's looked really good. I'm excited for him. And Abraham Gutierrez, along with Mike Burrows. Mike Burrows, who's recovering from Tommy John, he's back this year. I think we're going to see him in Pittsburgh at some point. And Abraham Gutierrez, shout out. He's going to be in the game Thursday. We acquired him from the Phillies, I believe.
Right.
He's had some good ABs in the big league spring training games.
Yeah, he went deep one time as well. So excited to see what he does in this upcoming season. We're going to get right into game recaps, but before we do that, Scotty, you got to fill me in on last week's Bachelor episode. I watched
perfect
it.
Perfect timing.
I watched it, cool. Okay? But I just need you to kind of refresh my memory of what happened. It's just there's so much going on.
There is.
You know, it's just like this person and that person. There's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, you know, again, I watched it.
Good. I'm glad you watched it.
I watched. Yeah. Okay. I watched it.
We had hometowns last week. Joey Graziati. He met the family, right?
Shout out.
My favorite one of them all was Maria's, because they played I'm pretty sure her dad was in the Greek mafia. Like they're playing.
Yeah. That's
like,
what they said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. It was the music they're playing while he was talking. It was like, yeah, this guy's, he knows a guy.
Yeah, he definitely knows a guy.
So
I agree.
It was her, Kelsey, Rachel, and Daisy.
Rachel, dude. Don't get me started on Rachel.
Where's Rachel from?
Dude, somewhere.
She's from a town.
It's a small town, right? Where
she
like
is
not
from
much
a small
is going
town.
On.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of like one of those situations where you bring them back home and it's like, this is my little house I grew up in.
Yeah, exactly.
And like daddy used to be out on the farm and now I'm a big city girl.
Yeah, but try that in Hawaii, and that was her.
It was way out.
I don't know if they say try that in a small town. They might say something like that there.
It was a small town in Honolulu.
Yeah, exactly. Small town in Honolulu, exactly.
Right. I remember that part.
So yeah, and Maria ended up, well, cut to the chase. She got eliminated. She was struggling to tell Joey her true feelings, was unable to get the she just froze up and didn't tell him that she loved him.
Or was she falling there? In love? Do you think she was there for the she right was. Reasons?
I don't know. They're, none of them were there for the right reasons. Come on. but yeah, you know, we got Kelsey, we've got Daisy, we've got Rachel, the final three. That's being filmed tonight. It's actually on probably right now as we're recording. It's 8 o'clock on Monday.
Right. Kelsey, Daisy, and Rachel.
Yeah.
I from the beginning, when they line them all up and then they say their names and they do their whole little bit, I knew it was going to be Kelsey, Daisy, and or Rachel.
Hey, Kelsey A or Kelsey T? Which one did you think it was?
You know, at first I thought it was going to be Kelsey T, right? And then the more I watched, the more I was like, you know what? Kelsey A kind of has it going on for her. She's there for the right reason.
She is the one that's left, so good job.
Yes.
This is unreal. you guessed that right. I mean, you watched it, so you know.
I watched it. Yeah. What do you mean, guess, dude? She's there for the right reasons. She's trying to find love.
She is. And, you know, I guess I'll report back next week at some point when we're in Florida and we're recording. I'll give an update on tonight's episode. But before we move on, I also want to talk about another love story.
Ooh, fill me in.
Cole Tucker hit his first home run in Seattle.
Yes, Cole.
Vanessa Hudgens is pregnant.
Is she pregnant home. Or are they getting married?
No, they're married.
Oh, they're already married.
But she's pregnant. So he hit a home run. His first home run as a Mariner. Congratulations to Cole and Vanessa. Little Corbin or
what?
Cole Jr. will be, I'm sure, Corbin number one pick. Yeah,
Corbin Blue. It's Corbin.
Yeah,
Corbin's the name for sure.
For sure. Future first round pick. I'm excited for the Tuckers.
Are they the Tuckers? Is she Vanessa Tucker?
She's definitely not taking a name.
Vanessa Hudgens Tucker.
Oh, hyphenated.
It's not bad.
Love that. Love that.
Sounds like a kid that can go places.
Further than Cole, probably.
Nice. Well, hey, listen, that was Bachelor Banter and updates on true love.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to get into some game recaps, and we will be right back.
All right, sure. We're back. We're going to quickly recap the last week of games since the last episode. And we're going to start on Tuesday, March 5th. The Pirates played the Blue Jays. They won 6-5. And the highlight of the game is Jared Jones. Jared Jones looked great. Two innings pitched, no hits, no earned runs, one walk, one K. The positive sign is that he's sitting 99 to 100, 101 actually. It seems like his velocity has increased every outing. And Shelton confirmed that he's actually battling for an opening day roster spot.
The one time we're wrong.
I said last week, I'm glad you mentioned that because I was going to make sure I said on this podcast that I will say that I'm wrong because I said there's no chance he's making an opening day roster. I think there is an honest chance that he does and he's earning it. And I hope he does because I want to see Jared Jones up in Pittsburgh sooner rather than later.
It's an open competition and he's done nothing but impress. When you're sitting that high, that consistently in the velo department, it's hard not to be noticed. The curveball, you're throwing a fastball at 100.2, 100.6, and then you hit a curveball at 81. It's a matter of can he pitch more than four innings at a time?
I never realized how intense he was until you brought it up and I was watching videos of him. I'm like, this guy is going to be like AJ Burnett.
Yeah.
Like intense level. Like he's exciting. I think this city's going to love him. And I think he's really going to lean into the whole Pittsburgh gritty,
he's mantra. A lunch pail guy. Yeah.
He's a lunch pail guy. And I'm excited for Jared Jones. I really hope he makes his opening day roster. And because of Moretta going down, I think that made this a little bit more possible because there's going to be bullpen spots opening up and that might open up spots for some guys that might've been vying for the back end of the rotation.
Sure. You don't think it's a possibility where he would make the opening day roster, but in the pen, would you?
No.
Neither do I.
Yeah. I really don't think so.
I don't think that's a good way to bring him up anyways. But speaking of pitching, we also had another young arm go, Quinn Priester, two innings pitched, two hits, one earned run, one walk, one K. Quinn's looked on and off. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you see that he has some good stuff and he's staying efficient. Other times you kind of know what you're going to get with him. Not overpowering. Not spotting up. I'll take that back. He's been, the control has been decent, but it's just nothing impressive. that's really like, hey man, he absolutely deserves that spot.
Agreed. I think there was a talk about him developing a different fastball, like a two seam, and because his four seam does not miss bats, and typically with his profile, he's got a big 12-6, but you want to pair that up with a vertical fastball, one that has speed,
sure,
high spin, like he could put at the top of the zone. His does not. It's the opposite. His is actually a fastball that you would pair with a horizontal arsenal. So a slot slider, a sweeper, or you'd have a two seam sinker that runs the other way. So I hope I think he'd be best developing another type of fastball, whether it's a cut fastball, whether it's a sinker. I think that's going to be his ticket, but I'm rooting for him. He's an athletic kid. He was committed to TCU to play cornerback. Like, he's obviously
cornerback
corner
with a C corner.
Yes. Yes. Like, he was a freak athlete. Look up football tape of him in high school.
Quinn Priester.
Yep. Yep.
Just want to make sure we're talking about the same guy here.
I think he's, you know, he's capable of making adjustments.
I'm surprised he didn't commit to Iowa.
He's from Illinois, but yeah, I think outside of Chicago, right?
White cornerback.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't I see what you mean. Cooper DeJean.
Yeah.
No, I see what you mean. Yeah. I think he's capable of making those adjustments. He's an athlete, so we'll see.
Yeah. Well, maybe his chances got a little bit better earning that back end rotation spot because Bailey Falter also pitched in this game, two innings pitched, three hits. Two earned runs, one walk, 2K. It's kind of been the same thing, so we're not going to really go into it. First cruise missile of the spring.
My God.
And it's not the last of this week. It was just the first 115 exit velocity, 411 feet. He's all the way back. Just the sound off the bat. Unbelievable.
I need him to be healthy for a full season. Like, I think him being healthy for a full season will get Pittsburgh so excited about this team, and it's just going to be so good for baseball. You saw what happened when Ellie De La Cruz came up last year.
And, right. Well, yeah, everyone was like, oh no, Cruz is just a Walmart version of Ellie. It's the other way around.
No,
it's 100% the other way around. It's because he didn't play all of last year and then Ellie got all the hype. Just wait. It's coming. This guy is an absolute dog.
I think Ellie might have a little bit more like straight line speed, but like the holes in his swing are much bigger than O'Neill's
right
at this point. I probably would take O'Neill head to head, but similar skill set. O'Neill's not a Walmart version of Ellie De La Cruz, though.
No, absolutely not. His approach has looked a lot better at the plate.
Very much so.
This spring, you hope to see a lot of the swing and miss go down, hitting for contact. He's going to be in that one spot. Right, so he's going to get fastballs to hit, and so you'll see, we'll talk about it. If you miss one time with him, you have to be perfect. Yeah. You have to keep him off balance, because if you miss ever so slightly, the ball it's gone.
Yeah, 100%. He punishes. It's crazy the sound off his bat. I hope we get to see it. He's special. He really is.
Yeah. Speaking of home runs, Sung Shae Chang does it again, opposite field blast. Exit velocity 101.1, 409 feet. He's definitely shown some pop. Peggy went deep in this game. Both Peggy and Triolo having very good springs in a second base battle. Everybody knows how much we love our king, Mr. Triolo. But
yes.
Peggy's making just as good of an argument to play every day at second base. At the end of the day, they're both going to be on the opening day roster. We were talking about it a little bit earlier before we started recording. Peggy's probably going to be the opening day starter if we were to throw money on it.
Probably.
And Triolo is just going to move around. I think as long as you just keep him in the lineup somewhere, I'll be okay with it. But both are having great springs.
Here's the thing, though. I've been getting a lot of questions. Peggy or Triolo? Peggy or Triolo? Triolo or Peggy? I don't think we have to pick. Like, I think both are going to make the opening day roster. And Triolo gives you the luxury to start him wherever on any day.
Right.
He is literally a Ben Zobrist, DJ LeMahieu type, better defensively than both. I don't think there is truly a battle between Peggy and Triolo, hypothetically, because I think both are making it. Both have impressed. I've loved what I've seen from Peggy. I also want to say that I love what I've seen from this team from a power standpoint. Like, the power surge has been real, and I don't want to overreact to it, but this is my this week's overreaction, I guess, for me. They're leading the spring training in the whole league in home runs, and it's showing every game. Like they're hitting the ball hard, and that's a very positive sign. You can't fake that.
Yeah, the Cardinals have won, I think.
Yeah,
so
I think you're right.
The boys are buzzing. Speaking of power, McCutchen returned to action. He went deep later this week, but he had his first hit in his first AB. Some cool stuff with McCutchen this week.
Yeah.
We know what he brings to the clubhouse. We know he's a leader, but he talked about kind of trying to envision when he was on the top of his game. So like 2013, right? Those years when he's MVP. Pirates are going into the season. Nobody really expects much of them. They end up making runs. They're going into the playoffs with a team nobody thought was going to do anything at the beginning of the year. So kind of channeling that mentality of maybe nobody expects much out of us this year, but we know what we can do. And as long as we're strong as a club, and you know, we can do whatever we want as long as, you know, we're mentally in the game.
No, I love that. I love that. He, it's good to see him back on the field. I'm excited to see him in that opening day lineup. And, you know, he's a bat we can rely on. He's going to get on base, and he's going to be a great influence for the rest of this team.
Yep.
We also had some other guys get on base with hits. Gilberto Celestino, who we've really liked, Bay, Ali Sanchez, and Abraham Gutierrez. You know, I think the bats are buzzing, and it's good to see.
Absolutely. Played the next day against the Orioles. Love that we get to play the Orioles so often.
Yeah.
Down there in Florida, Orioles 6-4. Mitch Keller took the mound. 4 innings pitch, 4 hits, 3 earned runs, 1 walk, 1 K, 1 home run. The first thing that was noted on this one was the velocity was way down. Mitch was asked about it after the game. He said velocity comes with the adrenaline rush and the situation. I don't think there's any concern there. Wasn't his best outing, but, you know.
Cause for concern.
A little bit. You never like to see that with the guy that's going to be your opening day starter, but he could have been going out there and focusing on one pitch, one spot, you know.
The positive is that we haven't seen or heard anything, at least I haven't, about, you know, him getting his arm checked out or any type of, like, injury or pain,
discomfort.
So you know, we're chalking it up to a one-off situation, hopefully. I don't know when he's scheduled to pitch again, but something to keep an eye on. You know, he just got paid. I hate to see it. If he were to get hurt, I would that would really bum me out.
Yeah, that would be major bummer. But Mitch is going to be all right. Braxton Ashcraft, who we mentioned earlier, got sent down through 1 inning, 1 walk. He's impressed all of spring training. Another news, Palacios was back in the lineup after a leg
Pop
injury.
Smoke.
Let's go. Dior. Triolo and Peggy continue to hit. Triolo single. Peggy had 2 singles. Again, we're not going to spend any more time on it. I was ready to go absolute full head of steam on the Triolo train this week. I was just crunching the numbers on Baseball Savant, just getting all worked up. They're both going to contribute. So,
yeah, I don't think there's any reason to pit them against each other, but
no.
The BABIP argument against Triolo is laughable, and I'm just not going to end it.
That's what got me going. Yeah, I was getting all types of worked up about it.
I don't think people understand what BABIP is that are arguing about his BABIP luck.
It's fun to say BABIP, though.
Yeah, it is.
BABIP.
BABIP.
BABIP. Speaking of BABIP, we go into Friday, March 8th versus the Twins. The Buccos defeat Minnesota 6-3. Martin Perez continues to impress, Scott.
Yeah, he's looked really good, man. I think the big thing with him is, well, he went 4 innings pitch, 1 hit, no runs, 2 walks, 2 Ks, but he's really been spotting up his pitches. You know, he's not a guy that's going to overpower you, but I think he's going to be good 2-3 times through a lineup, mid rotation and back end rotation guy. I think he's going to be solid for this team. I'm excited about this signing a lot.
It's going to eat innings.
Yep, for sure. But you know, I think the concerning part of this game was Ronzi. You know, we've been big Ronzi stands, or at least I have.
No, I'm there with you for sure.
I'm expecting his comeback. I thought it's way too early to write him off, and he could be working through things. So I don't know what the story is, but 2.1 innings pitched, 4 hits, 3 earned runs off of a homer. Just command is struggling a little bit. I think that's been the theme this spring.
Yeah, I guess we can only focus on the velocity so much before you're like, hey, is he going out there and, going 1-2-3? Is he being efficient? Is he getting guys to draw soft contact, or is he getting lit up consistently and losing control? I mean, you could throw 95 plus, but doesn't mean they're not going to hit it, and doesn't mean that you're not going to put yourself into situations to succeed. So,
Exactly.
yeah. A little bit of concern, especially with Priester had a good outing before this, or a semi-decent outing. Jared Jones still in camp, so I hope Rowe doesn't really play himself out of that spot. Maybe, like you said, with Moretta going down, that might open up a possibility for him in other
Yeah, I
ways,
think
but.
he doesn't. I could be wrong, but I don't think he has an option. So it's either he makes the team or he doesn't.
Hey.
So
Yikes.
if the, a bullpen role is, even though I don't really see him as a long-term reliever, a bullpen role might, if he doesn't make the rotation, might be the way to go, especially with Moretta out. So something to keep an eye on.
All right. Well, we touched on it a little bit earlier. Kutch hit a straightaway center field home run. So good to see that. Key Brian Hayes is going to win the MVP this year.
Oh my
Two
God.
hits and a home run. Man, he is absolutely raking. The contact is unbelievable. The power is there. The home run he hit in this game was on a line.
Yeah.
It was a no doubter, but it was just shot into left field.
Yeah, it's the consistent hard contact that he's making, and it's this one was on a line, but we've seen him loft the ball a little bit. And I think he this is a big development for him this offseason, and I'm really excited to see it. I wish opening day was tomorrow, because I just want to see it in real games that matter.
It's yeah.
He's yeah, hit
We
between
got to
that and the
get
defense.
right. We got to get Cinco back on here to break down some swings, because I'd really like to see the things that we're missing maybe from last year to this year that he's changed. But what I've noticed, and I was going through the slow motion of this home run, he was out in front for sure. That he lunged. It didn't look like a textbook, like, hey, stay back, through the baseball. But his hands were able to stay back, and he was just able to, man, it all looks like it's coming together. It really does. Even when he's slightly off, when he makes those adjustments, he's still able to hit the ball hard, even when he's out in front, or maybe he's getting full hard contact wins.
Yeah. No, it's something I'm excited to see in person too when we get down there to Florida. I'm excited to really dive into his swing. And yeah, I'd love to get Senko's take on it, like break it down.
Yeah.
But it's encouraging spring for sure. For Hayes. And then we had some other young bucks playing really well. We had Trace Gonzalez, Matt Frazier, Jackson Glenn, and Sung Che Chang get a hit. I've been really impressed by Chang. He's someone
He's had a great spring.
my interest is climbing rapidly with him.
Didn't know much about him
Yeah.
going into spring, knew he was in the system, but he's definitely impressed. Would like to go see him play this year, and be interested to see how they move him and what his timeline looks like.
Oh, absolutely. But we also had a so this was a split squad day, right?
Right.
And we had another game down in Northport at the Braves facility. We tied the Braves 6-6. Marco Gonzalez. I'm trying not to overreact. I know last year he wasn't healthy for most of the season. He's been an innings eater, sort of like Martin Perez. He went 3.1, 6 hits, 3 runs, 1 walk, 1K. He's getting hit around pretty hard, and I don't know what he's working on in the spring, but I'm not it's a little bit concerning, I think. I don't want to overreact, but I'd say there's some concern to be had here.
One thing I noticed a difference between him and Perez. So Perez, he might hit his not so overpowering stuff turns into outs, right? He's able to work efficiently, get through an inning, even when the ball's put in play with not, you know, the hardest contact. It works for him. With Marco, it doesn't seem to be working as much. The soft contact is still developing into hits. Sometimes drawing soft contact all the time isn't necessarily a good thing. It could lead to, you know, a bunch of BABIP kings on the other end, guys that are putting the ball in play that are just getting over the shortstop's head, you know, a slow dribbler to third base that we can't get to. Like you said, man, it really hasn't looked good for him. He's going to have a rotation spot, I think, by default.
Yeah, he will.
At this point. But if he doesn't work out in the first 2 months of the season and you got Skeens knocking on the door, if Jared Jones doesn't make the rotation and he's playing well, it could be a quick trip to Pittsburgh for Marco.
Yeah, absolutely.
You never know. The difference between spring and the regular season could be significant. So not going to get too worked up on it. But other news, Triolo started at shortstop on this day and got a hit. Oliveras went 2-for-4 with 2 runs. And our boy Gilberto Celestino, 2-for-2, 2 walks and a run. Love me some Celestino. I'm still on the Celestino train. He's making opening day roster. He's done nothing but impress the entire spring. Ben, do not leave Gilberto hanging. Get him out there. He's going to hit lefties when Jack cannot. But speaking of outfield spots, another guy that's had a bit of a hot streak the past week is CSN. Hit a home run. Absolute tank, to be honest. He's been hitting the ball really hard. And King Slime got another hit. So he's continued to hit the ball throughout the entire spring. And then Saturday, we go on to March 9th for the Tigers. 8-5 Tigers. Luis Ortiz takes the hill, Scott.
Yep. Yeah, Luis Ortiz, 3 innings pitched, 3 runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, 6 Ks. The 6 Ks are what are sticking out to me. This is the first game of the spring where he's been hit around a little bit. But still, the stuff looked good. And he had some swing and miss. 3 walks is a little bit high, but I'm not like worried about Ortiz. He's had a really good spring. You know, I think if anything, let's take away the positive. There's a lot of swing and miss in his repertoire.
I think he's in. I think he's making the rotation.
He's in. Yeah, yeah. I think he's absolutely in. I don't think there's really a question there. I'd be surprised if he wasn't. I think what really excited us this game is Henry Davis's home runs, like, because they've been hitting different. I feel like there's a different sound off his bat. And whatever he did at Driveline this offseason and whatever he'd worked on when he moved down to Florida, started watching The Bachelor, he looks like the work is paying off. He definitely put in a lot of work this offseason, and the swing looks good. We talked a lot about that front foot. It looks like it's not flying open. And he's hitting the ball hard. I'm excited for Henry.
I think a lot of it's mechanics, right? Figuring out, getting that experience, but the approach has to just be so much better than last year. Again, he was probably guessing a little bit. Yep. When you're struggling, you're looking for maybe one pitch that you know you can drive, and then you look silly. These are absolute no doubters. And it's not, you don't see him flying open. You don't see him getting fooled. He's had, you know, some strikeouts here and there, but when he's hitting the ball, it's very, very, very hard.
Yeah.
So all good stuff. Opening day starter, right?
I don't see a world where he isn't an opening day starter. If he isn't, I don't know what's going on. I can't answer to that. He's won the job. He is winning the job. I'll put it that way.
Henry's not the opening day starter, man. I don't.
I did see a video. I will say this. I did see a video where Jared Jones struck out a guy to end an inning, and Jared Jones is getting really intense. And then you see Henry Davis like punching his glove. I'm like, I need this in the worst way. I need this.
Yeah.
This is the next era of Pittsburgh baseball.
Yeah, man. It's good to see that emotion.
Yep.
Even in these meaningless games, you want to see the boys in it. Some other notes: Chapman, 2 Ks and one inning pitch. Holderman did not have a good outing in this game. But you know, he's already has a spot in the bullpen. Not too concerned about that. And another CSN bomb.
Yeah. He's got four, I think.
Yeah, he's got three or four, and we talked about this a little, and I think maybe you were a little bit surprised, but I to be honest, I would not be surprised if the Pirates snuck him in on the roster.
Yeah, I
can just
see it. He's got a good bat. He's
yeah, he did this to us last year, right?
Yeah,
he got there, he had a good spring, and then it kind of goes away fairly quickly. I mean, he's not going to be a starter. Right, but I mean,
no, but he can DH and he can play some right field and
oh, for sure. I mean, the athleticism's there.
Yeah,
I'd rather have Celestino, but if I'm looking historically at what the Pirates have done, I don't know. I feel like he might sneak on there.
I would rather have Celestino too, just because of his ability to play center field and the
yeah.
splits.
Right.
Because I think, you know, CNN obviously hit from the left side, and they've got a lot of outfielders that are, you know, competing for. I don't think people realize, like, you got Palacios, you got CSN, you've got Celestino, Olivares. Like, you've got a lot of outfielders here competing for two spots or so.
Right.
So it'll be interesting.
Yeah. Not a bad problem to have, but definitely taking advantage of opportunities while other guys are out. Moving on to Sunday, March 10th for the Phillies, 9-7 Phillies. Priester struggled.
Yeah.
Not great. About 3.2 innings, 5 hits, 5 earned runs, 3 Ks, 0 walks. Not what we're looking
for. Not as
for.
Bliss. He got hit around. I think they were in Clearwater, and it is what it is. He's someone I'll be watching this. I think more than likely he starts in AAA, and I think we'll see him at Pittsburgh at certain points. But you know, I think, like I said before, I think he's an athlete, and I want to see the adjustments that he can make to his game.
So if he's starting in AAA, then it's either Rowe,
Jared.
Or
well, so let's start from the yeah, exactly. So we have Keller and Martin and Marco. I think those are shoe-ins.
Yeah.
Right. Then you got two spots. I think Luis Ortiz is in. I really do. So then you've got Falter, Rowe, Priester, Jared Jones. Out of those four, Jared Jones is by far the most exciting. I mean, I don't think that's even a question.
Yeah. I mean, well, also, if you're talking, you know, competing this spring, he's definitely outplayed all of those guys.
And we talked about this last week with Henry, but the organization should set a precedent to reward guys that win jobs, you know, like, and he's clearly
absolutely
winning a job. Like, he's been talked about, not just in Pirate circles, but he's being talked about in Major League circles. So yeah, I think he'd be my pick for that last spot. Yeah. I don't think it'd be close.
Going to find out the next couple of weeks. We are recording this on March 11th. We are 17 days away from opening day. So
yeah,
clock's ticking. But the power surge continued on this one. We got not one, but two cruise missiles, one at 116 miles per hour and
That's
one
insane.
At 114 miles per hour. Man.
116 would be like a top 10 hard hit ball in the league last year, probably. Like, he's putting up like insane numbers. Like, and did you see,
yeah,
you sent me the clip of the video. We both saw it, right? It was a missile.
It was, yeah.
Absolute
no doubters
missile.
Yeah, he doesn't hit anything. He's not getting nothing's cheap with him. Even when he's out in front or he's golfing a ball, it's when he barrels something, it's going a mile. It's going to be super exciting to see him in a full season. I think the over under on his home runs is 22.5 this year. Are we taking the over or under on that?
I'm hammering that over. I think 25 is like a floor.
Yeah,
100%.
If he stays healthy, I think that's easy money. Do not take our financial advice. This is just us talking. You do what you want with your money, but definitely take that.
Definitely take it.
Reynolds hit his third home run of the spring. good to see him succeeding. You know what you're going to get out of him. We've seen some personality from Reynolds recently, a little mic'd up situations.
Mr. Personality.
Good to see him having fun and he's not just a robot. But it's the boys are buzzing. Again, Key Bryan collects another two hits. The bats have not been an issue at all this spring for at least some of the core guys. We can get into it with some other pieces that they've brought in, not really getting off to a hot start, but between Hayes, Cruz coming on, Reynolds, and others, it's how can I forget Henry? It's looked really, really, really promising. And we talked about it a little earlier with competing with that spot. Jared Jones stock continues to rise. 2 2/3, two hits, no earned runs, 3 Ks, no walks, 11 whiffs. Cutter looks absolutely filthy, and the velo is still very, very high.
Yeah, he's hitting 101. He's sitting up there around 99 to 100. It's impressive stuff. You know, he had 3 Ks and 2.2 innings of work. No walks, that's a big thing for me. 11 whiffs. His cutter looked exceptionally gross. It's plus stuff. People are going to learn about Jared Jones very quickly. I'm excited.
Kind of interesting time in Pittsburgh, right? You get these philosophies for these teams that they kind of haven't strayed away from in a long time. A la the Steelers signing Russell Wilson after possibly a failed experiment with Mr. Kenneth Shane Pickett.
Yeah.
Only after 2 years, usually you'd see them ride that out the old Steeler way. Same thing with the Pirates, right? No chance this guy makes the opening day roster. They're going to work him through the system, work out every little kink, check the boxes. Maybe the tides are turning.
You know what I got to say, Shore? Pirates Nation, let's ride.
Bucko Nation.
Let's ride. Let's ride.
So good stuff. But we had one more game against the Red Sox. Kind of a nothing. It wasn't a great one. 1-0 Sox. Falter actually looked pretty good in this one. 3 2/3, one hit, no earned. 4 Ks.
Okay, so you look better today.
Look better. I know at least 3 of those Ks were on fastballs. So just kind of hitting some spots, making some guys swing and miss. Again, not much here. CSN collected a hit and had a nice catch in the outfield. But that kind of wraps it up for the games that took place this past week in spring training. So we're going to take a little bit of a break right there. And we're going to get back to what we're looking forward to the most, which is the spring breakout game.
Yeah, let's do it.
This week's episode of Bucko Banner is brought to you by Driving While Black Records. This is a company that Scott and I are extremely familiar with, been following for years. Great music. I know you hear the song Arnold Palmer at the beginning of all of our podcasts and at the end. That's from Jordan Montgomery, of CEO of Driving While Black Records. And it's only right that they are our first ad read on the Bucko Banner podcast. Driving While Black Records is an independent record label based in Pittsburgh that provides brand management, distribution, licensing, and event planning support for artists. Driving While Black strives to create an environment where artists can develop their crafts while learning the ins and outs of the music industry. Their mission is to deliver quality and consistent content while establishing a signature sound and easily identifiable brand. To learn more, follow at DWB Records on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, or visit their website at drivingwhileblackrecords.com.
All right, Shore, we have the spring breakout game this Thursday that we will be attending. We're flying down to Bradenton on Thursday. I'm excited for this, very excited for this. This will be on MLB Network and ESPN Plus, two of the best farm systems in Major League Baseball going at it. I'm really excited to see what both of these farm systems have to offer. But first, we're going to talk about a few players that each of us like and that we're excited to see in this game. Let's break down this roster real quick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Name the players and then we'll give our names. But I don't know, Shore, if you want to name the pitchers that are going to be there.
Sure. Yeah, let's fly through. We got Braxton Ashcraft, Hunter Barco, Bubba Chandler, J.C. Flowers, Go Knowles, Thomas Harrington, David Matoma, very interesting one that we'll get into, Patrick Riley, Tyler Semenijo.
Am I hitting Samaniago that right now? Or something like that, I think. He's a
that
reliever.
That sounds a lot better. Mr. Paul Skeens, Anthony Solometto is the list of pitchers that they're going into. And then for the catchers behind the plate, Omar Alfonso, Abraham Gutierrez, and Axio Applause.
And then I will get into the position players here. We've got Tony Blanco in the infield, Tony Blanco Jr. He was an international signing last year. Jack Brannigan, Jesus Castillo, Sungche Chang, we've talked about a lot. He's gotten some big league springtime. Yordani De Los Santos plays third base and short. Garrett Forrester, Mitch Jebb, two draftees from last year. Tamar Johnson and Johnny Severino. And then in the outfield, we have Jace Bowen, Trace Gonzalez, Shaylin Polanco, Estuar Suaro, and Lonnie White Jr. That's our spring breakout roster right there.
Yeah, we talked about it at the beginning. Some of the big news of the week before the spring breakout game was MLB releasing their top 30 Pirates prospects. You see a lot of those guys on here, right? So not many surprises, but there was a couple of prospects that did not make this list that maybe they're not, it's not too much of a shocker, but some guys that maybe we thought were going to make the team. Scott, I know the first one that we're going to talk about is not very well known, but man, is he disgusting.
I think he could be a top 100 guy by midseason.
Junsuk Shim, 6'4", 215. The Pirates signed him for $750,000 to forgo the KBO draft. Okay. Probably would have been a top pick there based on what we're seeing in a small sample size. Okay. Maybe, I know this is high praise, maybe the most upside that we have in the farm system, other than Paul Skeens, from a straight stuff standpoint, right?
Yeah.
The fastball sits 94, 96. He has a sweeper and a curveball. The sweeper gets about 18 to 20 inches of horizontal break. That's
sick.
The way he's able to manipulate the baseball, right, is unheard of. And it might be to a fault, honestly. The curveball has about 20 inches of vertical break with well over 3,000 RPM. So
it's a high spin curveball, like Seth Lugo's. Yeah. Seth Lugo has one of the highest spin curveballs. He's at like 3,100, 3,200. So right. Like that's very above average.
So, I mean, while at times it's going to be absolutely soul taking, guys are going to buckle. I mean, it's going to be hard for him to keep it in the zone consistently, but didn't really get a chance to play last year. He had a little bit of a nagging injury with the ankle, but when he did play, he pitched four perfect innings with 8 strikeouts. That's pretty good.
It's pretty good. I'll tell you what, man, this is a guy I'm going to be watching closely this year. I'm really excited for him. And most of the casual baseball fan does not know about Junsuk Shim, but they will very soon.
Oh yeah. Big Shim guys, big Shim podcast here. Probably going to start in low A.
Yeah. Bradenton probably.
Yeah. He got some time in the Florida Complex League. But again, injuries, was shut down, probably more of a precaution. They're going to be a little bit careful with him, but somebody who could make their way through the system fairly quickly if he stays healthy. He doesn't turn 20 until the start of this season. So it's a young arm. Yeah. So that's when we were maybe a little bit disappointed that he didn't make the team. Understand that he hasn't really had much of an opportunity to begin with, but someone to look out for this upcoming season.
Nice. Yeah, no, I'm definitely excited for Shim. I'm going to give a name too. It's another pitcher. A guy that I'm really excited about who they drafted last year was Xander Muth. He was a draft pick, number 67th pick overall. Signed for about 1.797 million, 6'6", 200 pounds. He's a pitcher from Illinois. Another Illinois guy. We got a lot of Illinois prep players, Quinn Priester, Xander Muth. He was committed to Ole Miss, and he's touching as high as 97, sitting in the mid-90s. You know, this is a guy I'm really excited for. He's got kind of a, from what I understand, a very low three-quarters arm slot, and his stuff moves a lot. And when the names that come to mind are like Tanner Houck for the Red Sox. He's got like that really whippy arm action, and the ball really moves a lot, sometimes too much. And like a Justin Masterson, I don't know if you remember that name. He played for the Red Sox in Cleveland. He had a lot of tail on his ball, and this is what these are the comps that he's getting, Xander. And I think he's going to be an arm that we're really going to be excited about in a couple of years.
Xander Muth, all-time name. Sounds like he should Great be name. In Zoolander.
Yeah, exactly.
What a name. But yeah, so those are other guys. Some other ones that we have highlighted, Jared Jones, having an incredible spring. He's still a prospect, not on the breakout squad. Was he going to be on the breakout squad? And then maybe somebody chimed in and was like, hey, think he's going to be on another squad. Maybe he's not a prospect. Yeah. Or he's going to be graduating from being a prospect. Maybe it's a little bit of a precaution. Kind of interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we have a few other names here. Like you said, we have Jared Jones and Mike Burrows, and Burrows is recovering from his Tommy John surgery. Mike Burrows is a guy that I expect to be in Pittsburgh this year. And he's got some nasty stuff. I've gotten really excited about Burrows recently, reading about what he has in his arsenal. And I think that's more of a precaution, as we've said, more than anything, that he's not playing in this game. I think they're really taking it easy with him, and then going to ramp up the workload as the season gets going.
Right. Well, there are a couple of guys that are on the squad that we are looking forward to seeing in person. We will be at the game reporting, trying to provide as much content as possible. I know it's going to be broadcast on MLB Network, but we're going to see if we can get some live videos and bullpens up close action. The first person I am very excited to see take the hill is our boy, Anthony Solometto. Oh, we've talked about him a ton of times, maybe every single time we've started to record. Unorthodox lefty, that's going to be very deceptive. Has a fastball that probably sits low 90s. He's increased that a little bit. Again, he's super young. He's, what is he, 20 years old?
Yeah, he's very young.
Yeah, so 6'5", 220. Pretty sure I've said it before. Mad bum-esque in terms of delivery from the left side. The long arm that starts well below, you know, the waist and kind of whips its way through the zone, or, you know, down. He has great extension, kind of comes from an awkward arm angle where it kind of throws a bit of an invisible ball, right? It's not going to have any stuff that's going to blow by you, but it plays from both sides. So that's the part that impresses me the most. You'd think maybe a guy that's not overpowering like this, doesn't have Chris Sale like stuff, is going to struggle with right-handed hitters. Opponent batting average for right-handed hitters was .212. So it plays whoever's at the plate. He's able to mix it up pretty well. He has strong whiff numbers. Throws a nice slider that's in the mid-80s. Has so much potential. He commands all of his pitches fairly well. I think he throws the slider at like 70% of the time for a strike. So he's
huge.
Yeah, he's rarely missing a spot. So he's going to start in Double A this year, most likely. I don't know if that's been decided yet. He was sent to minor league camp last week. But I think the only knock on Solometo right now is developing those other pitches, specifically the changeup. I don't think he was throwing the changeup much for a strike or being as effective with it. So if he's able to work on that, maybe you see Solometo this year, towards the end of the season, depending on how he does. I'd expect him to get to AAA, or depending on how he does in AA, you know, and how the rotation's looking, maybe he gets called up from there. But I want to see it in person.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he probably definitely will be in AA, and we'll definitely make a trip out to Altoona to see him. That's where he ended last year. Someone I'm really excited to see is David Matuma. So I knew about this signing from Uganda, and I didn't know he had this much upside, to be completely honest with you. This is a right-handed pitcher. He signed as a 16-year-old in 2022. So he's only 18 years old. He signed for $20,000, but his stuff really exploded right away. I mean, his fastball got up to 101. He's pitched about 16.2 scoreless innings in 2023 DSL season. He's sitting in the upper 90s with plus carry. His slider flashed above average, and his changeup is still pretty raw, but there's lots of upside that you can dream on. He's 6 foot 165, so he's still growing into his body. He's got the size, but there's some high effort to his delivery, which obviously sometimes translates to reliever risk. So I guess worst case scenario, he could be a potential closer if his stuff doesn't work out, but he's still so young and so raw that it's hard to like make that projection just yet. He's just seeing some of the numbers and readings on his velo. This is a guy that I think is going to blow up as well, along with Shim.
They said at 16 years old in Uganda, he was throwing about 89 to 90 miles per hour.
That's crazy.
So it's just, it's natural arm talent.
Yeah.
And the fact that he, once he got the proper coaching and got into a, you know, a baseball facility with the, you know, right equipment, proper, you know, coaching, consistent every day learning, he's able to get up to 101.
Yeah. Yeah. I just imagine him with like coaching and the proper development. Like you said, it's something that you can really dream on here.
Yeah. Even if it is just, if it projects to be back end reliever stuff, I mean, 101 plays. Are there many other guys from Uganda in the league right now?
Not in the league. I think he's the first one. I think he's the first one.
Like in the minor? Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
So maybe a system that needs to be tapped into a little bit more if there's more David Matamas in the world.
Absolutely.
But really exciting. Another prospect I am looking forward to is Sung Shae Cheng, 2019 international free agent that we brought on for $380,000, who has seen a lot of time in big league spring training. Lefty hitter, plays middle of the infield, plays shortstop, second base, contact, defense, speed. So he's kind of projects to be a super utility man. I don't know if he's going to be an everyday starter, but he's seems like he is developing at a rate where it could be potentially difficult to make these decisions down the road. Very sneaky pop. The book on him earlier on was he has some strong poolside power, but most of the home runs we've seen this spring have been straightaway center field, opposite field, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he's got a bit of a leg kick, gets the hands through the zone really nicely, full extension. Really solid pop. So far, he's got 5 hits, 2 home runs, 3 RBIs. I believe it's 800 OPS.
Which is above average.
Yeah, so he's got a good glove. He plus speed. So, I mean, he can take bases for you. I don't know if he goes anywhere this year. I think the projection is 2025 for him. And if it is, I don't know if a spot's going to open up where, you know, you're seeing him as an everyday starter, but really, really promising and want to see it in person.
Yeah, you never know. I think the book on him is contact, speed, and defense. Like that's valuable areas of the game here. And he's really impressed us this spring. I've really been a big Chang fan, and I like his swing. He's someone who will probably play mostly AAA this year, and I'm excited to see him in Pittsburgh eventually. Another arm that I want to talk about. I have a few arms here, but I want to talk about Thomas Harrington because he's got a really interesting story. I'm excited to see him pitch live. He's right-handed pitcher, 6'2", 190. He was a second-round pick in 2021 out of Campbell. Really interesting story. He was a walk-on at Campbell, and he won Big South Freshman of the Year as a walk-on. That's, like, unheard of. And then the following season, he was the first-ever Golden Spikes finalist in the program history as a draft-eligible sophomore. So he was old enough to be a draft-eligible sophomore. First-ever Golden Spikes finalist in Campbell history. Campbell's got a really good baseball program. It's funny because the next year they had their second ever, which was Zach Neto, who was a first-round pick for the Angels. But Thomas Harrington's got really good stuff. He pounds the zone. He doesn't overpower you. He sits 92, 93, but he generates a lot of whiffs on his fastball due to their characteristics and movements. He's got that high spin fastball that can play at the top of the zone. He generates a lot of whiffs at the top of the zone. Someone I'm thinking of right now is like a Marco Estrada. I don't know if you remember that name. Played for the Toronto Blue Jays. He would sit like 90, 91 and just pound the top of the zone and like get so many whiffs, and no one ever understood it, but it's because he had so much spin on his fastball. And I think Harrington could be that back end deceptive starter that could miss a lot of bats and not with not overpowering stuff. I'm really excited for him.
Yeah, another guy could probably make his way through the system fairly quickly. Couple other guys, that we're looking forward to. One that I think is probably the most athletic guy that we have in the system. He has to be up there in Lonnie White Jr. Part of the Henry Davis draft, with Bubba Chandler and Anthony Solometto, originally committed to play wide receiver at Penn State. So he was going to play both there to be recruited as a wide receiver at Penn State. I mean, you got to. I know Scott is just fuming on the
No,
inside.
like, can I just talk real quick? I gotta say something real quick. We
I
saved
can
you,
see
Lon. We
you sitting
saved
back.
you. We saved you, Lonnie. You're no longer gonna be a cult member. It's fine. You're in Pittsburgh where you belong. We saved you. You're gonna thank us someday. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah. I'm glad you got that out.
Yeah.
I could see it just building and boiling. Lonnie White Jr., though, only 70 at 72 games in the first three seasons due to injuries. That's kind of been the knock on him. Can't stay on the field. So best ability is availability, but has great power speed combo. So
Yeah.
if he could stay on the field, he could be very special and probably make his way through the system again very quickly. But injuries have kind of plagued him past couple of years. We signed him for 1.5 million when they underslotted Davis, and they were able to spend that money on guys like Chandler and Solometto. So looking forward to seeing him in the game. Hopefully he gets a couple of at bats here, stays on the field. I think there's a lot of potential there.
Yeah, I think you can really dream on the power speed combo there. Lonnie White has been a name that we want to see stay healthy for a full season, and it'll be fun to see him in the game next week, but or this week actually. Crazy. I have a name too, who's someone that you can dream on.
My
Outfielder,
dream.
dream. Let's dream, baby. It's Estuar Suaro. We acquired him from the Padres for Rich Hill and Jimmy Choi. Man, did we get a haul in that trade? I think we got quite the return. But this is a big time outfield prospect. He was an international signing for the Padres. He's only 18 years old, and he's 6'5", 180. He's a switch hitter, so obviously there's a lot of projection left on that frame. And he's seeing time in center field and right field at 6'5" in center field. He's got a power speed combo that you can really dream on. He's super raw. He's got some swing and miss. That's the part of his game that he's really got to hone down on, but he's 18. So I think you can really dream on the skill set here, the potential, the ceiling. And I think he's gonna be an exciting prospect to follow this year, because he's gonna see non-complex level competition. So he'll probably be at one of the affiliates, and I'm excited to see how he adjusts to those different levels.
Yeah, I'll note quickly him and Johnny Severino, who we got in the Carlos Santana
Yeah.
trade. He's also on the roster, but two really young, talented, just raw skills that are going to take some time to develop, but very, very promising.
Agreed. I'm excited for these guys. We also have some honorable mentions to talk about real quick, of players that we want to see in this game. I know for me, I really want to see Jace Bowen and Garrett Forster. Jace Bowen is a f outfielder and first baseman. I didn't know about much about him until recently. He was 11th round pick in 2019 out of a high school in Toledo, Ohio. Last year, he had 23 home runs and 26 stolen bases in single A. Massive showing in the Arizona Fall League. Should get reps in all three outfield positions and first base. Kind of like when I think of outfield and first base, he's athletic. He can steal bases. Like it's just like a Cody Bellinger type. It's an unfair comparison, but whatever. He's athletic and can play first and outfield. Like you don't see too many guys like that. Big
Lots of
speed guy.
speed too, yeah.
Yeah. For a
Can
guy
take bags, yeah.
that's power and speed is something you can dream on, like I've been saying with a lot of these guys. And Garrett Forster is another guy who I really liked. We drafted him last year out of Oregon State. He slashed 341, 485, 522 is a full-time first baseman for the Beavers. He played third base though in his 6 games of actions in Bradenton last summer after he got drafted. Reached base 16 times in 29 plate appearances. But it's the I don't think he's a third baseman. I think he ends up at first, but it's that blend of hit and power. He's going to run high OBPs, take a lot of walks, hit some bombs. I think he's a bat that we're going to be watching here this year for sure.
Honorable mention on my end, Mitch Jeb. Go ahead and just type in Mitch Jeb on YouTube and watch this guy play. It's the most unorthodox, Hunter Pence-esque
It really is.
swing. He's all over the place. He's a risk taker. I mean, you'll see a pass ball and he'll take two bags easily. He's just an absolute grinder, elite bat to ball skills. And that's kind of really his deal. No matter how weird it looks and unnatural it is, he gets on base. He makes a ton of contact. Where he fits in the field, that's probably the biggest concern right now. Maybe there's a move to the outfield that can bolster his value a little bit, but he is able to play solid defense. So all around, he is a really solid prospect, and somebody that is going to put a lot of pressure on the Pirates, I think, moving forward, going through the system, if he's able to just keep grinding the way he is. Not too much power, but that's not what you're looking for him. It's really just contact, contact, contact. So 6'1", 180. The projected 2025, I think it's going to depend on where they actually see him fitting in, but that's my honorable mention.
Yeah, I think we think of like a Stephen Kwan type profile when
Right.
we think of Mitch Jeb, and
Rich Homie Quan.
I'm a big fan of Stephen Kwan. I'm a big fan of that type of profile. So we'll see what Mitch Jeb can do in a full season in minor league baseball, and definitely look up his swing. It's super unorthodox, but hey, it works for him. It's not broke, don't fix it.
Exactly, man. I am so excited to see this game.
Me too. This is gonna be a really good game. We're gonna try to get as much as content as possible. And it's gonna be two of the best farm systems in Major League Baseball going against each other.
Yeah, I mean, we're not even talking about who we're seeing on the other side.
Jackson Holliday, Kobe
Yeah.
Mayo, like, I mean, come on. It's like endless names.
It's going to be a sight to see. I'm excited to see the crowd there as well. What MLB Network's bringing. There's going to be stars in the building. It's going to be quite the event. So happy that we chose this weekend. I don't know if this was on purpose when we originally were throwing out dates that work for us, but it worked out perfectly. So
for sure.
Cannot wait to get down to Bradenton and report live from Leecom Park and Pirate City. Let's stop there, Scott, and get back with our closing remarks.
All righty, let's do it.
The week is here and there are a lot of games to see, but some of them that we will not be seeing: Tuesday versus Braves at Leecom and Wednesday versus the Blue Jays up in Dunedin.
Yeah, we'll be recapping those games in our next episode in Florida live. But we'll be arriving in Bradenton on Thursday. We'll be at the 3 p.m. Orioles at Pirates game in Bradenton, big league spring training game. And then that will be followed by the spring breakout game at 7 o'clock on MLB Network and ESPN Plus. Check it out if you're not in Florida. Friday, we will be taking a trip up to Tampa to see the Pirates at the Yankees at George Steinbrenner Field. That will be a night game. We're excited for that one for sure.
Absolutely. Bucko Banner on the road. Saturday is a split squad game, but we will be seeing the Tigers at Pirates in Bradenton, and the Bucks will also be in Northport to play the Braves. Saturday morning, we are going to be touring Pirate City and hopefully providing some behind-the-scenes content as well.
After each game, we will be recording a podcast recapping what we saw that day and updating our socials with as much Pirate content as possible. If you happen to be in Bradenton this weekend, please let us know and come say hi.
And if you haven't already, follow us on Instagram at Bucko Banter and on X or Twitter at Bucko Banner Pod. Make sure you like and subscribe on the streaming platform of your choice to get updates when we drop our new episodes. Got a lot coming out this week, so make sure you are up to date.
And also, hats and shirts are here. DM us if interested. You know, the logo, we've gotten a lot of positive feedback on the hats and everything else. So let us know if you want one.
Absolutely. The hats are what Scotty and I are sporting now. We have A-frame hats, some floppy hats, and we also have the classic trucker hat. And then the shirts are both the same shirts. You got a BB on the front and Bucko Banner on the back. We have some in white and we also have some in black. So if you're interested, let us know. Thank you for supporting the pod. And raise it, baby.
Raise it.
Intro music by Jordan Montgomery, CEO of Driving While Black Records. The song is Arnold Palmer off his latest album, Prime Real Estate. Rocking 101, she compliment my taste. Whiskey in my lemonade, cause I like the way it tastes. Best seats at the Pirates game, they let me run the base. Yeah, my time is like my money, cause I can't afford to waste. Wifey is a lawyer, take my date to my dates. Order steak by the plates, and then case after case. Run my race at my pace, clear the grass of the snakes.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.